Luke chapter number 10. Back, I don't know, it was probably December of 19, and everything went haywire after that. I preach revival at my dad's church, which is my home church, in a little place called Henderson, North Carolina, always the first week of December. And preacher, just a few weeks up to this, the Lord started dealing with me about this message, and I got all the points like I thought I needed to have them. You know how we get where we feel like the Lord has put on our heart what we need to preach. And I got all the points lined up, and I got it all written out, outlined out, I got to thinking, I'm going to nail my church right between the eyes. This is exactly what my church needs. No disrespect to my dad. He's my pastor. I've got a lot of family members in the church, brothers and all that. And I'm thinking, I'm gonna nail my church. I mean, this is exactly what they need. You know, you get to the place, I'm an outsider looking in on my church because we're never there. We're always preaching and singing somewhere on Sunday. So we get to go just maybe once or twice a year. And my dad says, that's good. Just send you tithes. And it seems like just talking to my dad on Sundays, you know, or any time during the week, it seemed like to me that our church was kind of in a little rut. Just spinning their wheels, you know, seemed like the visitation program got a little stagnant. And I know with COVID and stuff, this is all before COVID. And it seemed like just nobody was seemingly coming, no new faces coming into the church. And I don't know that my dad was discouraged or disappointed, but I thought, man, this is the jump start my church needs when the Lord gave me this message. And I get there on Tuesday night and I'd preach Monday night on another subject. And I get there on Tuesday night and I start to preach, start the introduction. And it's almost like the Lord said, you sit down. Let me preach to you. And honestly, if there hadn't been not another soul in the building, I'd have caught myself preaching to me. And it's almost like the Lord said, I'm going to nail you right between the eyes. And the subject I preached to my church, the subject that night that I preached to myself was our time with the Lord. Knowing me like I know me, and probably some of y'all in the same, walking the same shoes that I do, we're a busy bunch of people. It seems like, preacher, 24 hours in a day just ain't long enough. I mean, we catch ourselves going and doing that old saying, we got a lot of places to go, a lot of things to do, and a lot of people to see. That's our life. I mean, I catch myself seemingly bumping into myself, trying to get things done. This time last year, we were at the house about 30 weeks total. Throughout the year, we were at home, and I try to get one thing done, and my ADD would kick in. I don't know that I've never been medically diagnosed with it and not making light of it, but I caught myself starting one thing and then going over here to get something that I need to finish this thing. And when I got over there, I saw something else that needed to be done, so I'd start working on it, and I'd go over here to get something that I need to work on here, where I needed to get something that I needed to have to work over here. And I caught myself over here working on something, and it seemed like in the day, all three projects that I had going, neither one of them got done. And I laid down in the bed thinking, I didn't get that finished. I didn't get this finished. And I didn't get this finished. Where did time go? That's my life. That's how I am. And you're probably the same way. We just got so much going on in our lives. And it seems like while we're doing busy and going and doing all the things that we seemingly have to get done, it seems like our time with the Lord kind of falls by the wayside. It kind of slips our mind. We'll lay down in the bed after we've had that such a busy day, and we'll try to pray, try to have a little fellowship with the Lord, try to talk with the Lord, and it seems like all the busyness of life has caught up with us. We're still thinking about everything that we should have got done, and we'll try to start praying, preacher, and we fall asleep, wake up about 3 o'clock in the morning and thinking, I don't even know how much I got prayed for. Our time with the Lord. Look at Luke chapter number 10. The Bible says in verse number 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was coming about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Let me stop reading there, right there just a minute. Chase a little rabbit. We all have this Martha in us. Every one of us have this Martha complex. I can imagine Martha's got word that the Lord's coming by. Maybe the Lord showed up unannounced. The Lord spent a lot of time at Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus' house. The Lord spent a lot of time with them. They spent a lot of time with the Lord. And in this case right here, I don't know if the Lord showed up unannounced. I don't know if he just stopped by to see his friends. I don't have a clue how it happened. But I can imagine Martha saying, man, the beds need to be made and the sheets need to be washed and the floors need to be slept. The meal needs to be prepared. The house needs to be clean. And preacher, we all have this Martha complex about us. We got to do. I mean, and I'm all for a clean house, and I'm all for a clean bed, and I'm all for the floors being swept, and I'm sure enough all for a meal being fixed. But it seemed like Martha has saying, Lord, I need somebody to help me. I'm trying to get all this done. I'm trying to get the work done. I need somebody to help us. We all have that Martha complex. Admit it or not, we all have that busyness about us. But look what the Lord said. Verse number 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. I'm going to go ahead and give you the Scott version of why I believe the Lord called her name twice. I believe the Lord looked at her the first time and said, Martha. And I believe she's probably still thinking, I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I got to get that done. Her focus is not on the Lord. And I believe the Lord had to say her name the second time and say, Martha, look right here. I need you to look right into my eyes. I need you to listen to what I have to say. There's a lesson you need to learn. There's something I need to teach you. There's something very important you need to grasp a hold of. And let me say it like this today. Church, there's something we need to do. I'll go ahead and make it real personal. Scott Matthews, I need your undivided attention. I need you to look right here. I need you to teach you something. I need you to show you something. There is something that each of us need to grasp a hold of. And if you listen real close, the Lord may be calling your name not just once, but twice today. He's got something he wants to show you. The Lord said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Our time with the Lord. Getting right into the message. Number one, our time with the Lord to a child of God ought to be valuable. It ought to be the most valuable time we have. It ought to be from the moment we get up in the day, spending time with him some throughout the day. When we go to bed, we ought to make time, valuable time with the Lord. But that busyness catches up with us. That busyness distracts us. There's a lot of things that the devil throws our way. And you say, how do you know it's the devil? He's the one that don't want you spending any time with the Lord. It's not the Lord not wanting you to spend some time with him. It's the devil. It's the flesh. It's us that don't want to make valuable time to spend with the Lord. But the Lord made this statement to Martha. He said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. Martha, I know you're bothered about the cleaning. I know you're bothered about the cooking. I know you're bothered about sweeping the floor. I know you're bothered by making the beds. But Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. But that's not what you need to be worried about. He said, one thing is needful. He said, Martha, I appreciate the clean house. Martha, I appreciate the clean floors. I appreciate the meal. But Martha, that's not what you need right now. You don't need to be worried about any of that. You need to be worried about what Mary's doing. The one thing that's needful in your life, the one thing that's needful in my life, it don't matter how busy you are during the day. There's one thing needful, preacher, in my life as a preacher, in my life as a husband, in my life as a dad. It's that I need to spend valuable time with Him. I know the Lord's talking to me today. He's saying one thing you need in your life. It's all the stuff that's going on that distracts us. We put everything as priority number one, priority number two, priority number three, and then when it gets time to our time with the Lord, that's last on the list. When that ought to be first on the list, and third on the list, and fifth on the list, and seventh on the list, and the last thing on our list. We ought to know that it's up to us as children of God to make our time valuable. I can promise you, church, the Lord's never going to scold us for spending too much time with Him. We're never going to be slapped on the wrist for spending too much time with the Lord. He said, Martha, I know you're busy. I know you got a lot to do, but there's one thing you need in your life. He said it like this, Martha, Martha, you need one thing in your life right now. It's not to worry about the cleaning. It's not to worry about the house. It's not to worry about the cooking. Martha, you need to spend valuable time with me. I can go ahead and make this promise to you, church. If you spend a little extra time with the Lord, valuable time this week, this preacher will preach the paint off the walls next Sunday. We need to spend that one thing that's needful. You say, preacher, you're not talking to me. If I'm not talking to you, then good. You pray for the rest of us. Because I know a lot of God's people, myself included, preacher, I need to spend more quality, valuable time with Him. I need to just listen to the words He has to say. He said, Martha, your busyness has got you distracted. Everything that's going on. Now, this is not an excuse for you not to do the things you need to do as a child of God, not the things you need to do as a husband, not the things you need to do as a dad. This is not used as an excuse to say, well, I can't go take out the trash because I got to spend time with the Lord, or I can't go wash the car, or I can't go to work and pay my bills because I got to. No, this is not an excuse. We have time for that. The Bible says there's a time and a season for everything, and we can fit that in. But the most priority, number one thing in our lives ought to be spending time with the Lord. If we spend valuable time with Him, everything else will flow a lot smoother if we just spend valuable, valuable time. The one thing that's needful with the Lord. And I'm going to go ahead and admit, I'm guilty. I let everything else get in the way, preacher, of me spending valuable time with the Lord. But number two, not only valuable time with the Lord, but our time with the Lord ought to be valuable. But number two, we've made our time vulnerable. The one who monopolizes your time the most is you. I can't control how you do your stuff. You can't control how I do my stuff. The preacher can't dictate how you spend your time. It's you. We're the ones that cause our time to be vulnerable. We can't look at our brother. We can't look at our sister. We can't look at the church. We can't look at the preacher. We can't look at our husband. We can't look at our wives, preacher. It's me that chooses to make my time vulnerable. All of us can say, oh me, right here. Oh me, that's the way I feel. The Lord made this statement. He said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen. Nowhere in Scripture will you find the Lord forcing Mary to sit at His feet. Nowhere in Scripture will you find the Lord forcing Mary to listen to the words He has to say. This is a choice that Mary made. This is a choice that Martha didn't make and Mary did make. And Martha's got to the place where the Lord's telling her, you need one thing in your life, and that's to spend valuable time with me. And you're not choosing to do it. But your sister Mary is. She is choosing to sit at my feet. She's choosing to listen to the words I have to say. And I promise you, just a little bit of time of you sitting at His feet listening to every word He has to say, it'll keep us out of a lot of the jams and the fixes and the messes that I get me in and that you get you in. If we just spend a lot of vulnerable time with the Lord, making it valuable. He said, Mary hath chosen. It's my choice, Dad. It's your choice, Dad. Mom, it's your choice. Preacher, it's your choice. It's my choice. The most. And you say, how do you know we have, and I'm sorry about the Facebook feed. I feel like I'm playing a tennis match. That's just the way I preach. I'll try to limit my space. But you say, how do we make our time vulnerable? Probably 95% of you's got one of these. Now, please don't walk out these doors, get on this, and tell everybody that the preacher we had this morning is against technology. Because I'm not. During all the stuff we've been through in the last year, I'm grateful we had this. We were able to get out and go to many countries because of this. But this seems to be used a lot more than for just live streaming our services. The new ones have an app on it where you can see your screen time. Mine says 1 hour and 27 minutes already, preacher, today. Just today. Today. My girls, if thumbs were an Olympic sport, they'd win gold every time. Our kids will eat up with it. You say, make your point. If we leave our Bibles at the house at 9:30, preacher, we pull up in front of the church to let mama out at the door, and we realize we left our Bible, you know what we'll say? We'll get one from the lost and found. Or there'll probably be one in the back of the pew we can use. But if we that same 9:30 we pull up, let mama out, we realize we done left this at home, we missing Sunday school. I know I'm not the only one addicted. We're all guilty. And again, I'm not preaching against technology. I thank the Lord for my electronic leash. But when this takes the place of spending time with the Lord, we've missed it. We have not chosen the good part. We've made our time vulnerable. I'll go ahead and confess another fault. I'm not confessing any sins to y'all. Around our house, the hardest time, preacher, for me and my wife and the two girls we still have left at home to get together is our family altar time. Family altar time. And usually the guilty party is standing before you today as to why we don't do it. Before pandemic, you're looking at the biggest sports nut there ever was. I mean, I knew stats. It didn't matter if it was baseball, if it's football, if it was basketball. It didn't matter what sport it was. If it was on ESPN, I was going to watch it. Horse racing, I mean, horseshoes, whatever. I tell people down back home, if flicking boogers was a sport, I'd watch it just because I love sports. My TV stayed on ESPN all the time, preacher. I could name players. I could name all-stars. I could name stats. I could name division leaders. I could name playoff teams. I could name it all pre-pandemic. Now I hope every one of them goes broke. All them bunch of overpaid spoiled babies, I hope every one of them go broke. And yes, sir, Brother Dave, I still am a Tar Heel fan. Got my cufflinks on to prove it. But I'm about sick and tired of the way they've tried to bring that stuff into politics. Instead of doing what they get paid to do, they're trying to bring it over into the political realm and make everybody mad. And that's exactly what they've done. They've made me mad. They're a bunch of babies, overpaid babies. But pre-pandemic, preacher, if a basketball game was on and it's being played out west in California, It wouldn't come on at the house till about 10:30, 11 o'clock. Because it's only 6 or 7 out there. So about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, they done started the fourth quarter and it's about to wind down. It didn't matter who was playing. It didn't matter what the score was. I was sitting either in my recliner watching it or I was laying in my bed watching it. About 1 o'clock in the morning, my wife would say, "Honey, we need to get our family altar time in. Need to get our prayer time in, our praise reports and praying for our missionaries and stuff like that." And it's 38 seconds left in this ball game. And I'm thinking, oh no, the score's close. And I would choose. Now you listen to me. I'm not confessing any sins to you. I'm confessing a fault. I'd holler in the living room. I'd holler back in the bedroom. "Honey, there's 38 seconds left. I'll be there just as quick as it's over and we'll do our family altar time." That 38 seconds lasts about 3 days, seemed like. And about time I'd get into the living room or into the bedroom to have our family altar, our 7-year-old's already asleep. Our 15-year-old, she's over there about to pass out and go to sleep. We're too tired and I'm thinking, "You big dummy, you messed up." And my words were always this, "Preacher, honey, I'm sorry. We'll catch up tomorrow night." And it was always something else making my time vulnerable tomorrow night. And y'all looking at me like I'm the worst sinner in the whole building, but y'all had Netflix. You got DVRs and genies, whatever the terms are. We all have something else that makes our time vulnerable instead of valuable. I'm not the only one that does it. We're all like that. We choose to make our time vulnerable. I was choosing that basketball game. I was choosing other stuff. And it wreaked havoc on some things in my life and in my family. The Lord said, "Mary hath chosen to make her time valuable and not vulnerable." But number three, and I'm done. Macy, come on to the piano. Our time with the Lord ought to be valuable. But we've made it vulnerable. We have to get to the place, church, where we realize our time with the Lord has to be vital. It has to be vital. Preacher, I'm not worried about the Lord taking care of the church. And what I mean by the church, the body. The born-again believers, those saved by God's amazing grace. That is the church. This building's not the church. This is where the church meets. I'm not worried about the Lord taking care of the church because He's already promised, "I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee, I'll be with you always, even to the end." David already said, I once was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm not worried about the Lord taking care of the church body, us as believers. But what I am worried about, preacher, and I'm going to come down here, is the building. I am worried about the padlocks being put on the doors out there. Because I can promise you, this world nor the current administration is friends to what we're doing in here today. I don't care how you voted. I don't care what your political stance is. The administration that's in the White House today is no friend to this Bible, to this church, to this preacher, the administration. Every executive order he signed in some way or another has affected how we live as children of God. And if you don't believe it, do your research. He is no friend, preacher, to what we stand for. Old time. And I'm going to use the term religion, but I mean Christianity. He's not for us. And I'm worried about it. You say, "Well, that's way down the road. We'll never see that happen in our lifetime." I never seen a time where I thought a virus would shut everything down. And you can bet your bottom dollar they're gunning for the church. We're the problem. We're the ones that's standing in their way of complete socialism and communism. So I'm worried about the attacks, preaching. You say, "You ought not get political." Somebody needs to. I'm not worried about us as believers. We're all right. One of these days, the trump of God's going to sound and we're out of here. And they can have it all. But while we're here, While my kids are here, preacher, I got a grandson going to be born within a month. I'm worried about what they're going to have to face. Not necessarily 10 years down the road. I'm worried about what they might have to face next week. And unless I make the time with the Lord vital, praying for my church, praying for where we gather and worship, praying for where we meet, praying for our rights, unless I make time to spend with the Lord knowing that it's vital, it's a matter of life and death. And if I don't realize just how vital it is right now, my kids will never see us worship like we worship. My grandson will never be able to worship like we worship, preacher, unless I get to the place where I stop making my time vulnerable, I make it valuable, and realize just how vital that time is. The Lord makes this statement. I'm going to give you this and I'm done. The Lord said, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I always wondered what that meant. Never had a clue what that meant. But one day we were sitting in church pre-pandemic and the Lord showed me this illustration, and my father-in-law knows I'm not making fun of him when I use this illustration, preacher. Back 29 years ago almost, when me and my wife got married, we'd come to a church like this. They'd call us up to sing. My father-in-law sitting on the front row like he always does. He'd come up off the pew real easy. I mean, it'd be like this. He'd grab the microphone, he'd sing. We'd get done, he'd come back down. No help, no assistance. Come back down, he'd sit down. But if you were here in Sunday school, the first part of this service, you saw him. They called on us to sing, preacher. Had a little struggle getting out of his seat. He knows I'm not making fun of him, but I'm trying to make a point. Coming back down. This thing we call age, it has a way of catching up with us. Preacher, I'm 50 years old. There's stuff that I think I still can do. And after I do it, I'm thinking, why in the world did you even attempt that? And I believe the Lord's telling Martha, Mary's chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I believe he's saying, Martha, there's coming a day you won't be able to clean. There's coming a day you won't be able to cook. You won't be able to sweep the house. You may be restricted to a hospital bed. You may be restricted to a walker. You may be restricted to a cane or a recliner. Martha, there's coming a day because of what we call age. You won't be able to do that busy stuff that you're doing. But what Mary's doing, it doesn't matter if she's in a hospital bed. It doesn't matter if she's on a walker, Brother John, or a wheelchair. It doesn't matter, sir, if we're in wheelchairs. We can always spend time with the Lord. We can always pray. We can always listen to the words He has to say. We can always sit at His feet. It doesn't matter if it's in our recliner, if it's in a hospital bed. That'll never be taken away from her. And I believe the Lord's saying, Martha, that's lasting. That's what'll last. It's vital that you do it now while you have the physical ability to get out and do the busy stuff. But realize that'll never be taken away from you. When all this other stuff may be hindered. It's vital, church. Who knows what lies ahead in the next 6 months? It's vital that I spend time with the Lord, that you spend time with the Lord. It's got to be valuable to us. It's got to be a matter of life and death, preacher. The very existence of how we worship, church, may depend on how much time you spend with the Lord. How much time I spend with the Lord. And here again today, It's almost like the Lord said, sit down. Let me nail you right between the eyes. I need to be reminded of this. We all need to be reminded of how important it is to spend time with the Lord. We're going to stand all over the building. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, everybody's standing. I'm going to pray. The pastor's going to come. He's going to take this invitation.